Well, today I continue my series on Colossians, and most of you should have an insert in your bulletin entitled The Supremacy of the Son of God. If you don't, I invite you to look on with somebody who does, because that's what I'm going to be covering today. And I'll be reading it over as we go through this, so just listen up as I read this in case you don't have it. You know, one of the realities in our lives is there are so many different paths that you and I can take. So many different directions that we can go in, so many different philosophies and people that we could follow in our lives. And I don't know about you, but for me, it's a constant challenge to make a decision about, at times, what direction to go in and who to follow and things like that. Who's telling the truth and who's not? And it's a challenge, I think, for a lot of human beings as we live out our lives. Well, in the midst of that challenge and in the midst of the reality of our lives, one of the things that you and I can celebrate that Paul powerfully proclaimed to the Colossians was the supremacy of the Son of God, the supremacy of Jesus Christ. You see, in that early church, they were struggling also with exactly who to follow. They were struggling with the ideal of worshiping angels. And during the Roman times, there was a lot of different idols to worship and things like that. I mean, there was even the worship of the political leader of the day, Caesar. And so there was that struggle. There were different philosophies in the day of the Colossian church, and they were struggling with who to follow in that. There was a struggle of the Jewish people and the law and how that fit into their Christian belief. And so in all of these struggles, what Paul is trying to address in this short treatise on the supremacy of the Son of God, that over all of these things, Jesus Christ is supreme. He is the head. He's the Lord of lords and the King of kings. And we're going to spend some time in this particular part of the letter today celebrating that reality. So we notice in verse 15, Paul begins by saying that the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Have you ever wondered what God looks like? What God would do if he was in a certain situation? I imagine even you've had people ask you about that, you know, what would God do in this situation? Or why does God let this happen or that happen? Or what would God look like? And so those are really important questions. And you have a really important answer. And it's in verse 15. Paul shares that the Son, Jesus Christ, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. So if you or someone else you know is looking for someone who would be an example of what God is all about and what God would do, you have no further than to look than the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God. In his very manner, in the way that he lived out his life, especially in the New Testament and what we read about him, in the prophecies about him in the Old Testament, they're all indicative of the very presence and person of Almighty God. And that's important for you and I to remember. As people are looking for answers today, as people are wondering about God, you and I can legitimately point them to the person of Jesus Christ, his miracles, his love, his sacrifice, and the way that he lived his life. It says in here that he is the firstborn over all creation, which is an introduction to the next verse, verse 16. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. I think that covers just about everything. And Paul did that intentionally. He wanted the Colossians to know, and he wanted you and I to know as well, that Jesus is at the very heart of creation. Now, I realize that some of you are wondering about the evolutionary theory, and I don't have time to get into that today. But what I can say to you is simply this, is that from the gospel account, and in particular from what Paul is sharing here in this particular set of scriptures, that God has something to do with creation. He has something very big to do about it. And in fact, what this scripture is saying is that the very center, the very heart, the very genesis of creation, where it all happened, in and through and from whom, is the person of Jesus Christ. That in some mysterious way, the entire cosmos, the entire universe, have their heart and their center in the person of Jesus. says all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. You know, I realize that one of the great gifts that all of you have in this place, and I as well, is the gift of life. And that life, we believe as Christians, is a gift that God has given us. It's the life that we have a choice about how we'll live it, about where we'll put our energy and what we'll do. And that is God's gift to each one of us. But do you realize that at the very beginning of time, when God was creating you in your mother's womb, he was also creating you for him? That ultimately he would like you to come back home. That ultimately he would love you and I and everybody. He would love all of humanity to ultimately come back home to him because you were created for him. You were created to have a relationship with him. You were created to enjoy him and for him to enjoy you. You were created to be in relationship with him in a way that you and I will continue to discover throughout all of eternity. And that is a wonderful thing. Now, some of you don't look too excited about that. I just have to say, some of you don't look too excited about that. And what I want to challenge you to do is if I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, I'm not going to do that. But I am going to ask you that if in your heart of hearts, as I shared that, you really weren't too excited, I want you to think about the possibility that maybe on some level what that means for you is you need to get to know him better. That maybe what that means for you is you need to press into him a little bit more and really discover who he is. Because as you and I begin to do that, we will find how beautiful and wonderful and loving and incredible the person of Jesus Christ is. It's not just a word on our tongue or a thought in our mind or something that we go through the motions each weekend about, but it is meant to be a living relationship that is vibrant and transforming and incredible. Verse 17, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Now, you realize when Paul says this, that Jesus is before all things, he's talking about the reality that Jesus is not a created being, but rather he is divine. You remember when Moses was at the burning bush in the desert, and God was appearing to him. There was a fire in the bush, but the bush was not consumed, and Moses was kind of taken by the sight, so he went over to the bush, and a voice came to him, you know, take off your sandals because the place where you're standing is holy because the presence of the Lord is there. And then the Lord God Almighty speaks to Moses and says, you know what, I want you to go and set my people free from the Pharaoh in Egypt. That's what I want you to do. And Moses says to God, well, who should I say sent me? What's your name? And he doesn't say John or Maria or Herbert or Irving or whatever. He says, tell them I am sent you, meaning I have always been. Tell them I am sent you. And you remember the words of Jesus when he is in battle with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. There is that pregnant moment where he uses the word I am. He uses that word about himself. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees knew exactly what he was saying because it says they picked up stones and they were going to stone him to death because he was claiming to be the Lord God Almighty. And that was blasphemy for them. The only problem was he is the Lord God Almighty. He is before all things. He is the great I am. And in him all things hold together. Now, I've shared about this before, but I'm going to share about it again. Some of you may know this, but there is actually a protein in our body called laminin. It is a foundational protein that actually is structural. It's a building block for the entire body and helps with the formation of so many things that a human being would constitute in their body. I don't know if you realize or not, but laminin microscopically is actually in the shape of a cross, which is the most amazing thing when you consider this verse, that in him all things hold together. But I think it's even more amazing than that, that the reality for you and me is that Jesus is supreme over the creation. And in some mysterious way that I don't even understand, that I can't even begin to explain, that I don't think any human being will ever be able to articulate, he is holding it all together. Thank God. We would have blown it apart a long, long time ago, right? There have been times where we're on the edge already of blowing it all apart already, and we continue to crescendo into those moments as human beings to just blow it all apart. But by the grace of Jesus, through the presence of Jesus, he is literally holding the creation together. Now, that might not mean too much to you, but as a former Navy chaplain, it means an awful lot to me. Having been in the Navy, at shore and at sea, there are various times where I had the opportunity to fly on a Navy helicopter. Now, a Navy helicopter is a very interesting machine. Navy mechanics do a great job. Some of these aircraft have been flying for 30 and 40 years. And as a chaplain, whenever I got on one of those helicopters, I was very aware of that. I'll just put it that way. And so were the other crew that were on the helicopter. Completely confident, would get on one in a heartbeat. But a number of us joked about a helicopter being 1 million pieces flying in close formation. And it's true in some ways. 1 million pieces flying in close formation. And so, again, in the reality of the creation, Jesus is holding it all together. Verse 18, and he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. So we see the supremacy of the Son of God and the very creation of the earth. And now Paul begins to share about the supremacy of Jesus Christ in the church. He says that he is the head of the church, the body. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead. I want you all to just do something for me for a moment. Mia, you're going to like this. Would you put your hands on your head? Good. Put both hands on your head. This is your head. This is your head. This is a very important part. I forgot to bring my phone again. I wish I had my phone right now. This is a very important part of your body. Now, you know what? We could lose a hand, we could lose a foot or a leg, and we wouldn't want that to happen, but we could lose some of those things and we could still live. But if you lost your head, game over. Time to go meet the big guy in the sky, right? You can take your hands off your head now. That was neat. That was really great. And I had you do that for a reason. The lesson, very practical lesson for you and me, is that's who Jesus is in the body of Christ. He's the head. He's the center. He's the mind. He's the brains. He's the one that's directing everything and guiding and leading it, ideally. Except where we come in. I have a great idea. You have a great idea. They have a great idea. The community has a great idea. But the most important thing that you and I need to do as the body of Jesus is to ask the head, what is his idea? What would you have us do as the head of the body, of the church? How are you guiding and leading and directing us? And so I'm all for all the different ideas. I love my ideas. I love your ideas. I love us talking and sharing about them. But the most important thing that you and I can do with all of these ideas is inquire of the Lord. Lord, I have all of these great ideas. I really am kind of partial to this one, and I really think this will be awesome, but what would you have me do? And then listen to what God speaks to you and allow him to be the head and to guide and lead you. Again, it says in verse 18 that he is the firstborn among the dead. Jesus is the first resurrection of the church, the first of many, many to come, so that in everything he might have supremacy. Verse 19, for God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. Do you remember that? This reminds me of that verse, that story of Jesus. Remember when he was baptized in the River Jordan? Who baptized him? John the Baptist. And as he went into the river to be baptized, and he went under the water and he came up, what happened? There was a voice from heaven that said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. All right, I love this. This is great. Little catechism action here. This is great. this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And in other parts, Mount of Transfiguration, listen to him. So again, we hear this again in verse 19, this unity of Scripture, that God was pleased in his Son Jesus. Hear this. Know this. How did God feel about Jesus? He loved him. He was pleased with him. He was his beloved one and only Son. He loved him to the moon and back, if you will, right? After all, he created it. Might as well. And God loved him so much. So if you ever wonder how God feels about Jesus, if you ever wonder about how God feels about his people that follow him, God loves them. He is the beloved of the Almighty, and he wants us to honor him and to follow him because God was pleased with him. Verse 20, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. And so we have here in these few short verses a celebration of the supremacy of Jesus Christ. He is supreme over creation. He is supreme over the church. And he is supreme in terms of reconciliation. See what the heartbeat of God is. In the midst of our divided country, in the midst of our divided world, in the midst of times where we're seeking to blow things up and things are just fracturing apart, look at what God is about. He is about reconciliation. He is about healing. He is about people coming together. You and I blow this all the time, but it doesn't change what God is about. That's what God is about. We should never put on God what we're doing. We should rather agree and cooperate with what God truly desires to do, and that is to make peace with the world through the blood of Jesus Christ. Once and for all, one sacrifice. And this was the lesson to the Jews in Colossae. What the Lord was speaking to them through Paul was simply this. It's not about circumcision. It's not about obeying the law. I gave you the law for two reasons. One is to realize my holiness and how you're unable to fulfill that or please me in your own strength. The other reason why I gave you the law was to help you discover there's no way you could keep it. It's humanly impossible to be holy and to please me. It is only through the shed blood of Jesus Christ that you can come before me. I am so grateful that when I go home today, I don't have a pen out by my house full of sheep and goats that I need to sacrifice tomorrow morning in order to make atonement so that I am right with God. But you and I are right with God through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Once and for all of humanity, it is not about a philosophy. It is not about another religion. It is not about a guru. It is about the person of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, died on the cross that all of humanity could be saved. Amen. Amen. Making peace through his blood shed on the cross. He's supreme. He's the Lord of lords and the King of kings over creation, over the church, in reconciliation. And I want to invite all of us into a prayer for just a brief moment, and I just want to ask you along with me. I know for many of you, he is your Savior. I know for many of you, he is your Lord. But I ask you along with me, is there a part of your heart, is there an area in your life where he is not? You can surrender that to him today. You can surrender the culture to him today. You can surrender this world to him today. You can surrender your afternoon schedule later on to him today. And allow him more fully and completely to truly be supreme in your life. To have his way and his direction in your life. And to follow him in faith and in fullness and in love. I invite you along with me to do that right now in this moment. That we might honor him fully and completely as the Savior and the Lord that he is.